Good morning. Thank you, Miss Rachel, for the introductory music there. Appreciate each one that's here, every visitor, every member, and what a great day to be at House of the Lord. And we want you to take part, and we hope that you get a blessing. And you can bless me if you help us sing with a blue book here, number 296. 296. Good to see everybody. Sounding good. All right, let's just keep that momentum going. 242.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody out. I heard somebody reply. That's good. It is good to see each and every one out today for our service. Good to have the good number with us today. We appreciate each and every one coming out for the Lord's service today. And I hope we get to warm up a little bit this week. If you're like me, your fingers are cold today. And at least it's not everything else cold, I guess is the best way to put it. And so it's good to be back in the house of the Lord today. Our crowd was down last week because of the weather. We weren't here the week before, so it's good to see a good number in the house of God today. And let's take advantage of the opportunity today just to come in and worship the Lord in this service today is what I want you to do. We're going to move right along with our service today. Brother Stewart's going to be doing our children's church, and so he'll be. We'll call on him at this time to do our children's church. So kids, you come to this side. Kids, come right on over here. Everybody, come on.
All right, is that all we got? All who want to come? All right. There you go, got it. I got a reading lesson for you today, but I also have something I want to talk to you about. The first time I did this, I asked the group that came down, how old are you too old to go to Sunday school? And we decided that you never got too old to go to Sunday school, that you can always go to Sunday school. So one of the things that I want to talk to you about is the blessings that Sunday school has been to me. I'm 72 years old, and I still am learning something in Sunday school every time I go. I learned a great lesson a few weeks ago, and that lesson is something I want to relate to you all. This lesson comes out of Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 17, the verse is verse 20. What has happened in this is right after Jesus had given the 12 disciples powers to go out and heal, and he had sent them out two by two. Well, they had come back in, and they were with Jesus, but there was this young man who had demons in him. And the father came up and said, could you please heal my son, because he is falling into the fire, he's falling into the water, he's going through all these torments, and your disciples couldn't heal him. So he kind of announced that out in public. And the disciples didn't do anything, but later they came to Jesus and they said, Lord, why is it we could not get rid of that demon? And that's where our lesson is, the reply from Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, behold, of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. All right. So that lesson that we had, and we brought that out in Sunday school lesson just a few weeks back, and I learned something, because I thought that verse always meant you needed big, big faith. You needed huge faith. And most of the times, that's what I'm asking the Lord for. Lord, strengthen my faith. Make my faith bigger. But you know what? That's not what that passage was about. That passage was talking about, see that in there? That is a mustard seed. And Jesus talked to him about it. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could tell a mountain to move, and it would. You know the real story behind that, what he was trying to teach to his disciples? I just about lost my microphone. What he was trying to teach to his disciples was where their faith should be. Their faith should be in Jesus. And what had happened, they had gone out and they had started doing all these things, curing people and healing people and doing all these miraculous things. And you know what happened? They kind of got thinking, look at me, look what I can do. And they forgot about where their strength really came from, and that was in Jesus. So that's the reason he told the story of the mustard seed, that if you place your trust, your faith in Jesus, then all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. And the other important thing about a mustard seed was that was very familiar to them back then. It was probably the smallest seed they planted into the garden, but it grew into one of the biggest plants that they had. A mustard seed plant can grow into the bush that's 30 feet tall. And the roots go so far down in the ground that it's almost impossible to get them out. So there's lots of lessons to learn from that. But what I'm going to do, I have for each of you today a mustard seed bottle. And I want you to keep that and put it in your room. And every day before you go out, you look at that little bit of mustard seed in there and you think, if I place my trust in Jesus, just a little faith, as small as a mustard seed, I can do all things. And also remember that you're never too old to learn something new in the Bible. Every day we can learn something new. All right? Thank you all so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Brother Stewart. Thankful for all the kids that came up. Good lesson. And appreciate every one of the kids that comes up. And all of you kids that are out there that listen, it's always a good lesson for us too, isn't it? And many times we preach about that seed being so small and having faith enough to move a mountain. And we wonder a lot of times why our mountains do not move, don't we? And I have one little story that kind of goes along with this, because a lady read this in the Bible, and she had a hill that was between her and her neighbor. And she wanted to see what her neighbor was doing. So she read that, and she said, "Lord, move that mountain. I believe you can do it." Next morning, she got up, and the hill was still there. And she said, about like I expected. Did you get it? She didn't expect it to happen. That's not faith. Many times we don't have that kind of faith just to believe that God will do something. Many times, as far as our work with God, we think, "Lord, help us," but then we try to help. Many times we think that our children will get saved, but then we're surprised when they do get saved too, don't we? We are to be having more faith, expecting great things from our God. Good to be here today. Appreciate everyone being here for our service today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request upon your heart before we go any further in the service? Had several prayer requests in Sunday school this morning, and we need to continue to remember them. I won't try to mention all of them, but I do want to say it's good to see Sister Joyce back with us today. She fell and broke her leg the other day, I guess it's leg, wasn't it? And she was unable to be with us for a while, finally got well and weather hit. And she's still hobbling along, but let's be prayerful for her and pray that the Lord will help her to get well soon. Completely well is what I'll say. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Let's remember those that's lost loved ones. But let's remember even more than that in the sick that we have among us, and even our shut-ins. We need to pray for all of them. But let's remember these that are sin sick more than anything. These that are unsaved. I was looking around. It was 8 or 9, I guess, around here. I think maybe 10 that probably is not saved. At least that I haven't heard them say that they're saved. So I'm glad today we can pray for them. Anybody else got anything they want to say? We want to go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll call on one to lead us in prayer. But we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Rodney, would you start our prayer, please?
Let's finish up with number 44. 44. Don't believe we've done this one in a while, but we should all know it by heart.
Thank you, choir. I'll do it that way. I got my hand full. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody out today. I always like to give an opportunity if somebody would like to say anything. Anybody got a word of testimony on your heart this morning? Let us all follow the Lord. If the Lord's got something for you to do, I'm going to tell you something. It'll bless everybody here is what it'll do. So we want to give you that opportunity. Go ahead, Brother Randall.
I've got
Yes, sir.
Our son that's looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
Got him a job.
Good.
Yeah. Looking for a hospital. Bless his heart.
Mm-hmm. Bless his heart. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir. We want to pray for that soul. Thankful for him finding a job, but he needs to get saved. It's what he does. Somebody else? Let's all follow the Lord today in this service today. I'm going to give you a chance to testify kind of quietly, in a sense, today. And what I'm going to ask you to do, we sing the days of the week a lot of times, don't we? But I'm going to do it a little different today. We're going to start off this way. And I want you to raise your hands, not just a little bit. No, a lot of people just kind of put a finger up or something like that. Raise your hand up nice and high that we can see it. If you got saved before you was, well, we'll say 10-year-old, raise your hands. You get saved before 10-year-old? Everybody look around, see, look at them. Look at the ones that got saved before this 10-year-old. Everybody that got saved, now you can drop your hands now, between 10 and 20-year-old, raise your hand. That's most of us, ain't it? Okay. Anybody that got saved between 20, and I'm going to jump this up a little bit, up to 50-year-old. More than I thought. Between 20 and 50. That's good. That's good. How about 50 and more? Got one. Got saved after he's 50. 50 and more, that's it. Now, what I want to kind of bring out to you today is if you noticed, the most of the people that raised their hands were between 20-year-old and younger. That's the ones that got saved. Now, I heard a preacher make this statement the other night that he had saw a survey in which that most people that get saved, now I think he had a number of 83% of the people that get saved are 18-year-old and younger. Now, I want you to kind of keep that in your minds today. 18-year-old and younger got saved. Most of the people, 80%, 80, I think it was 83% that he said got saved at, before they was 18-year-old. And I think our numbers would get pretty close to that today. I didn't count. Maybe somebody was kind of keeping up as you went. Didn't think about it, though. But you think about that, that most people get saved before that they're 18-year-old. Now, we're going to give you a scripture on this. And we're going to the book of Ecclesiastes today for our reading lesson. This is probably going to be one that you have heard quoted different times, but we're going to read a little bit more than that also as we go to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and read him, starting with the very first verse. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and starting with the first verse. I'm still seeing people turning their pages, so I'm trying to give you time. Be prayerful for me today. This up and down weather has gotten into my sinuses, and ever so often, that's what happened while Brother Stewart was doing children's church. It just starts all of a sudden. So be prayerful for me today that my voice and everything else will be clear. So be prayerful for us today. 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, we're going to start reading with verse 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." What? Think about that verse and what you saw as far as people raising their hands. The majority of the people got saved at 20-year-old and younger is what they did. But as the preacher said the other night, probably about 83% of the people that actually get saved before they're 18 years old. So remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. In other words, you're getting older is what it's talking about. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Most of us older people, and I'm saying us now, we can definitely say the pleasures of life, as far as our body is concerned, they're not as good as they used to be. We can probably say there's not as many joys of our lives and once that we get older. He said, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. And I want to back up just a quick second here. And I read that first time and I went, sun, light, moon. And then I went back and I read it again. I said, sun, light, or moon. Now think about that. Most time we think about light coming from the sun itself. It gives us daylight. But then he added in light itself, and then the moon and stars is what he did. So what's he talking about there? In other words, the light of the gospel is upon you. I want you to realize today there may come a time where that you may not have the light of the gospel in your life. You may not be able to go into a church like this and hear old-time preaching of God's word. That's what I would say about that today. The Bible tells us, and I believe I can't call what chapter and verse it is now, but one of the Old Testament prophets, he said, there'll come a famine in a day. Not of food and water, but of hearing the word of God. So what he's telling you today, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before you get old, while there's still sunlight, while there's the light of the gospel, the moon and the stars are still shining upon you today. He said, be not, he said, nor the clouds return after the rain. In other words, the daily activities of everything that is about you. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He said, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow down themselves and the grander cease because they are few and those that look out of the windows be darkened. In other words, there comes a time when that you as an adult, you basically get to a time where that everything is harder for you to do. Work, play, whatever you want to call it, there becomes a time that it gets harder, but there's also a time when your eyes grow dim. And what he is basically telling them is to remember the Lord in the days of thy youth, but while your heart is tender. I want you to drop down to verse 7, if you would. And we'll get the last part of our reading lesson. And we'll try to get through this best we can today with the Lord's help. Verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. In other words, there's coming a time when you won't be on this earth. You won't be here on this earth. There's coming a time in which that we all are going to die. The Bible tells us there is a time appointed unto man to die. What he meant by a time there, it didn't mean that you were going to die on, we'll say, February the 7th, 2028. And that's not what he was talking about. What he was talking about, there's coming a time that you are going to die. It's appointed unto man to die, to give up the ghost, to go back to the dust of the earth, if you would. Why is this important today? Well, as our reading lesson said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth today. I want you to keep in mind that while you're young here today, your heart is tender, first of all, towards God. You don't have the things of life that are on you all the time, and they're just causing you to think about everything else. I had thought maybe I would go to this just a little bit later, but I believe it's needful now that we go over to the book of Luke, into the 12th chapter of Luke. And if you look at these scriptures, you're going to hear a little bit of a parable. We're not going to talk about the entire parable, but Jesus had told a parable that's called the parable of the sower. And he said, some of the seed, when the man was sowing it, it fell outside of the gate, out of the fence, outside of the area of the field. And he said about it, he said, and the birds came and plucked it all away, and just it never managed to flourish in any way. Then he said about that those same sower, he said some fell into what you would call not so good ground, stony ground in that way. And when that sprung up in it, and then it began to be in a place where that when the drought come, the dry times come, it dried up and withered away is what it did. And then he said some of it fell into ground that was taken by what we're going to call weeds. Just plain old weeds, thorns, thistles, and such as that. And as that happened, it choked it out is what it did. You see, you're living in a time now as a young person in this world. In your life right now, you're living in a time where the word is coming to you. The word is saying for you to remember thy Creator today. I realize the world today has in mind that maybe this world was created by a big bang. Maybe some are saying that man evolved from a monkey. As my uncle used to say, they make monkeys out of themselves for making a statement like that. Because our Creator is God Almighty. He is the one that made everything that there is. He made the land that we have. He created the trees, the grass. He put the birds in the air, the fish in the sea. He did all of that. And He is a supreme God that we are to remember in our lives today. Now, as we look at this parable today, I want to call to your attention again the two portions of this. And that was the part that fell outside of the field. Now, it's up to you today what you're going to do with God Himself. What are you going to do with God today? The subject that is upon you today is remembering God, thy Creator, now in the days of thy youth. While your heart is tender, while that your mind is not cluttered with the things of the world, if you just passively, excuse me, if you just passively take the word of God as it's brought to you today about your Creator, and you pass it off, you're the same as the one that's outside the field. But I want for you to look at the third one when he says, and the servant will come, excuse me, in the wrong place here. He said, I'm not seeing, well, I'm down too far, that's why. He said, now, these things about this. He said, the sower in that day, they will fall into ground that's rocky and then it dries up. But the third one was the one in which that the seed fell among the weeds and such, and it choked it out. And what Jesus said in that day, it was the cares of the world, the riches of the world. Many people today, they're able to enjoy the cares of this world. Many people are able to enjoy much riches in this day. But when those cares and those riches get between you and the Word of God, your Creator, in this day, it becomes something that will cause you to dry up and miss out on the greatest blessing that there is today. What I want you to realize today, that God wants you to remember Him now in the days of thy youth. Now, I'm not saying an old person can get saved, can't get saved. What I'm saying today is this. I have seen individuals or heard of individuals who in their 80s have repented and gotten saved. I remember seeing a man at a church years ago. He would go to the altar time and time again. And he was well into his 70s. And when that he finally got to a place of repentance, he repented so strongly that he knew his heart had been changed. But he said about it, it would have been much better if he'd done it years ago. The reason that the cares of life get in the way, when that you're getting at we'll say, 20-year-old, maybe you're in college, maybe you've already started a job or something like that, and you think that within yourself, that is the ultimate thing. But as you grow older, all of those cares of life begin to mount upon you. It gets harder to clear your mind of these things. Now, I want to give you a verse here out of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And it's a familiar verse to most people. He says in the sixth verse, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Did you notice that there is a statement of there that says, "while he is near"? And that statement is trying to say to you, now is the time. There may be a time when the Lord is not near. I remember a gentleman years ago, as he would be in church services, he had not given a testimony of being saved. He was well up in years, and his statement was that the Lord does not deal with him anymore. Oh, that sounds bad, doesn't it? Many sinners in their young age, they think within themselves, oh, that'd be the best thing, wouldn't it? I wouldn't have to worry about God dealing with me anymore. But think about it. Remember the last verse of our reading lesson today. He said in that, let me turn over there where I'll get it exactly right here. And he said, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was." In other words, you're going to die. "And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." In other words, you're going to die in that day. So now is the time to seek the Lord. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." When the cares of life get in the way, it gets harder to find him. What happens every time that you refuse the Lord's drawing? It gets a little easier for you to refuse him the second time. If you've told him no, then it makes it easier to tell him no the next time. And the next time is even easier to do that. So what you begin to have is what we call a hardened heart. Your heart gets so numb to the presence of God. Have you ever seen someone who has maybe had a lot of pain? And when I say a lot of pain, maybe their legs hurt all the time. After a while, the pain doesn't go away. They just kind of go numb to it. They pass it off in that time. Well, they're hurting, but they always hurt is what we have in mind. The same thing happens when an individual is lost and away from God. They have that same idea. It becomes numb to them of God drawing them unto Him. What He said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now, these scriptures today are giving you an idea of now is the time to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It's best to seek Him now. You're never going to be any younger than you are now, in other words. 5 minutes ago, I was younger than I am now. We just don't notice it as much, do we? But in the days of your youth, your mind can be influenced by God greater. But as you grow in age, you start to get to a place where that maybe it's your wife or your husband. Maybe it's the work that's there. They cumber your mind. And you think, well, I don't have time for God right now. I'll do it when everything is easier. When I retire, I'll make time for God then, is what they may say. Now, one of the things I've noticed is even when that you people retire, they don't quit. They keep going, don't they? They keep pushing. Maybe it's housework. Maybe it's keeping a yard. Maybe they have things that they like to do. Maybe they want to volunteer and help somebody else. All of these things may be good in our minds, but if they keep us away from God, what is it going to do? Now, he said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Remember the Lord now in the days of thy youth. Jesus made a statement, and this one is familiar to you, out of the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount that Brother Stewart talked about today. And what he said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many be there be which go in thereat. Now drop down to verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, when he said this was a straight gate, it means it's hard. It's not easy to get saved. A lot of people will tell you it's easiest thing that you've ever done. I even made that statement when I first got saved. It was easier than I expected, and it was. But it was hard to get to that place. It's easy in the way that you just turn loose and give yourself to God. But it's hard to get to that place, isn't it? It's hard to get to the place where you just give yourself over to Him, just putting yourself in His hands. And what He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now, I want to call to your attention something here today of what Jesus said over in the book of John, and it's a familiar scripture too. And Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John in the 6th verse, he says this, I am the way. Whoa, wait a minute. He said over there, he said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Meaning it's not the easiest place to get through. It's not easy to get saved. Now, I don't mean to discourage you, but the best time to do it is in the days of your youth. Before you get any older. Oh, I'm not necessarily talking about the children here today. I'm talking about the ones that are just unsaved in our midst. You may be 20 or 30, 40, 50 year old. I don't know anybody's hearts here today. But what I'm trying to tell you, before you get any older, before your heart gets any harder, go to the way. The disciples asked the Lord in that day, said, Lord, where are you going? Lord, how do we go there? We don't know the way. He said, I am that way. Much of the world today will tell you, well, you join our church. A lot of people will say you get our baptism. A lot of people will tell you you keep the Lord's Supper. A lot of people will tell you you got to do this and do that. A lot of people will even tell you you've got to keep your works up. You got to be righteous in everybody's eyes. That's not the way. Jesus said, I am the way. He's not looking at you as a person as to what you can do for him. He's looking at you as what he can do for you when you trust him. Remember I said salvation, as a friend of mine used to say, it's kind of like falling off a log. I've got a pole that I walk across a creek to get over to my barn, and I've walked it, I'm going to say, all my life, so I get up there and I just like that. Others look at that and they say, I ain't doing that. You know, it's a narrow little pole. It's a narrow little way. But if I don't want to get my feet wet, I've got to walk that post. What I'm trying to tell you today, while you're younger, as young as you are right now, seek the Lord while he may be found. Remembering your Creator. You're not remembering me as a preacher. You're not remembering the people here in this church that's trying to tell you about the Lord. Yeah, those are good memories to have. But the greatest thing that you can have today is Jesus Christ himself. God remembering that Creator today in the days of thy youth today. That is our message today, Brother Sam. Get us a song together. And I'll say to those that are unsaved today, the altars are always open to those that needs to seek the Lord. And I say this, these benches will not save you. Not any of them will. But the bench you're sitting on, it can become an altar. As we called it a lot of times, a moaner's bench back at home. We called them moaner's benches because people would come and mourn and weep unto God. And that's fine. But the bench you're on can be that same altar that you seek God at. You just need to do it now. I'll give you one other verse and I'll quit. I like to quote this one because Paul said, now is the time of salvation. Now. That didn't mean wait 10 more minutes or maybe a week or two or wait till you're older. He said, now is the time of salvation. Seek ye the Lord before it's too late. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While we stand and sing.
262.
There is a day that I want to hear. I got saved 3 weeks ago.
Amen. That's a good job right there. Bless your heart, Molly. I hope sometime you'll want to join church and be baptized, is what I hope you want to do. I got to find out about that 3 weeks ago, but we wanted her to be sure. You did a good job, Molly. You did. Bless your heart. She wanted me to tell you, but I said it'd be best she told them. She'd do a lot better job, and she did, is what she did. Love you, honey. I do love you so much and appreciate you telling us, okay? Bless you. That's good news. She told me that 3 weeks ago, and she said, I think, and I said, you pray. And I called later that day, and they said, just like flip switch. And I'll tell that much of it. And she said she was telling everybody. But I wanted her to tell the church. That's really good news right there. Would she want to shake hands with everybody? Okay. She wants to shake hands with everybody that will, to let's encourage her, and I hope and pray that she'll want to join the church and be baptized. Do you? Okay. Come on back up here. Come up here and sit beside me, okay? We'll do it this way, okay? You let Mama sit down here too. Let me ask this right quick. Anybody else want to join the Lord's church today? Anybody being impressed to join the church? If not, okay, Molly has told us already, but we always require this. Can you tell me one more time right quick? She got it saved 3 weeks ago. Is the way she said it. Thank God for that. What's the will of the church? By the way, where was you at?
Sitting over there.
I meant to ask you that. Thank you. Is there anything else you need to tell us? Okay.
What's the will of the church on Molly becoming a member of the church? Motion made and second that we receive her. According to the rules of the church, she'll be granted all rights and privileges when baptized. And we'll set that date later is what we'll do. I know she'll want a lot of her family to come and be here for her when she gets baptized is what we'll do. So looking forward to that. I didn't take a vote, did I? Okay. All in favor of this motion, let it be known by uplifted hand. All opposed, like sign. Motion has passed. We'll set that baptizing for later is what we'll do. Everybody that will, let's come around and extend to her the right hand of Christian fellowship at this time. Bless you, honey.